This is number 6. At this point, we want to deal with a section which we have entitled Improving Organizational Communication. We face here the all-important question, how can managers improve organizational communication? Directional flow and formal and informal communication are key places to look to reveal and to solve communication problems. First, we consider managing formal communication. Identifying the three directions of organizational communication that involves downward communication, upward communication, and horizontal communication. Identifying these three directions of organizational communication highlights the need to ensure effective communication in all directions. Each type must operate in an adequate level. Each must also operate efficiently to be cost and time effective and to avoid information overload. For downward communication, the manager would be wise to remember and implement several important principles. First, most managers probably do not give their subordinates enough important information. Employees often are dismayed at how poorly informed their bosses keep them. This is especially true during a crisis or a major change within the organization. Second, only certain kinds of information need to be communicated downward. Generally, employees want and yes, deserve to know about things that affect them and their work responsibilities. The manager should consider the consequences of not sharing a piece of information and make sure that relevant information is delivered. Managers can do many things to improve downward communication. First, management should develop communication policies and procedures. Second, information must be available to those who need it. Third, information must be communicated accurately and efficiently. Lines of communication should be as direct and short as possible and as personal as possible. The information must be clear, it must be consistent, and it must be timely. This means neither too early nor, as a more common problem, too late. Generating useful upward communication from the ranks means doing two things. First, managers should facilitate upward communication. For example, they could have an open door policy and encourage employees to use it. Have lunch or coffee with the employees. Pass out surveys that ask specific questions of your employees. Or institute a few possibilities that will make upward communication easier for your people. But managers must also motivate employees to provide valid information. Useful upward communication must be reinforced and never punished. The employee must trust their superior and know that the manager will not hold a grudge if they give him or her some negative feedback. Surveys will always go unanswered if your employees are afraid to be honest because they believe their opinions will not be heard, or they believe their opinions, if expressed in an honest fashion, are in some way going to be detrimental or harmful to them. The need for horizontal communication is critical to the innovative process. It's critical for four basic ways. It provides managers with a means of connecting potential recognizers of opportunities for innovation. When individuals in various parts of the organization are closely connected through multiple communication channels, then they are more likely to be aware of opportunities as well as problems, which often provide a basis for innovation in the exercise of opportunity as well as the solution of problems. So this concept of horizontal communication provides managers with a means of connecting potential recognizers of opportunities for innovation. Secondly, Horizontal communication provides managers with a means of linking different areas of expertise. The importance of a variety of views is rather related to Cantor's notion of thinking that is diverse. Thinking similar to a kaleidoscope, for example. The kaleidoscope has multiple elements that form a pattern, but they're not locked in place. Shaking, twisting, or changing the angle provides a new pattern. Similarly, fresh approaches to existing patterns form the basis for innovation. So horizontal communication can provide different areas of expertise. And then a third thing, horizontal communication is used in building coalitions of various individuals. Linking individuals can help develop innovation and support their implementation. It's much easier when both vertical and horizontal communication channels are active. Innovative companies often use teams with representatives from various functional areas to help with developments that are likely to lead to critical changes. And then I believe we could also say that horizontal communication will help managers emphasize boundary spanning. Certain roles within the organization that interface with important elements outside of the organization can help keep members linked to important sources of environmental information. Encouraging scientists, for example, to maintain close ties with their respective fields through association membership, conferences, and the like is one means of what we often refer to as boundary spanning, or actually staying on the growing edge of your field. Another is maintaining close ties with customers. A study of 500 important industrial innovations found that over 3/4 originated with customer suggestions, while 1/5 developed from technical ideas seeking applications. The manager is also responsible for managing not only formal information, but informal communication. Most of the suggestions for improving personal skills and organizational communication, such as writing, speaking, listening, facilitating, reinforcing upward communication, and so on, typically are applied to improving formal communication as well. But they also help improve informal communication. In addition, remember that the grapevine, which we discussed earlier, can never really be eliminated. One expert says, whenever people congregate in groups, the grapevine is sure to grow. It may manifest itself in smoke rings, jungle tom-toms, taps on a prison wall, or just idle chatter. But be sure of this, the grapevine always there. It's always a reality. Therefore, managers must learn to work with the grapevine. The grapevine can be managed in several ways. First, if the manager hears stories that could get out of hand, he or she should talk to key people involved to get the facts and their perspectives. Second, if a manager is constantly being bypassed by the grapevine, his or her communication channels probably need some fine-tuning and reworking. Providing information in a more timely manner can help ensure reciprocal exchange of information. Also keep in mind that if the grapevine is alive with late-breaking stories, the manager can feed it true information to keep false rumors from developing. And finally, false rumors need to be stopped by candidly publicizing the facts. Important rumors must be addressed and must be resolved. In addition, electronic advances are providing managers with new methods and channels of communication. Three of the most prominent advances are electronic mail systems, voice mail, and video teleconferencing. There's also a growing interest in what is often referred to as groupware, which we'll mention in just a moment. An electronic mail system is one that allows high-speed exchange of written messages through the use of computerized text processing and communication. Anyone who has access to a computer can develop and send a written message to anyone else who has a computer mailbox on the network. There's also evidence that electronic mail leads to information exchanges among managers who previously did not communicate either by mail or by telephone, and that managers receive new types of information through this system. Electronic mail systems not only enhance vertical communication, but certainly they can also facilitate horizontal communication. One of the disadvantages of electronic mail is that it eliminates the nonverbal cues, such as facial expressions, body movement, tone of voice, and so forth. These nonverbal cues often serve as aids in face-to-face communication. And then another disadvantage is that the ease of sending mail electronically can cause individuals to receive excessive amounts of mail that really does not apply to them and is not of interest to them. An ally form of electronic communication is voice mail, a recording system that enables senders to leave messages for receivers by telephone. With voice mail, nonverbal cues, such again as voice quality and tone of voice, are certainly conveyed. Voice mail is particularly useful in imparting short messages that do not require further discussion with the intended receiver. Another form of electronic communication, video teleconferencing, is the holding of meetings with individuals in two or more locations by means of closed-circuit television. An alternative method being developed to help groups communicate electronically is the use of groupware, that is, computer software designed to facilitate meetings. Groupware coordinates simultaneous electronic messages from group members, each of whom sits in front of a computer and displays them on a special screen at the front of the room so that all can see. I think certainly we would have to say that effective communication is important in gaining and maintaining the competitive edge in any organization. Communication certainly is the exchange of messages between people for the purpose of achieving common meanings. In their work, managers use two types of communication. Verbal, which we have mentioned before, the verbal would include written and oral communication, and nonverbal communication. Managers tend to prefer oral over written communication, spending approximately 75% of their working hours communicating orally with others. The communication process has several basic components: a sender, process of encoding, a message, a receiver, process of decoding, noise, and feedback. When communication provides for relatively immediate feedback, it is referred to as two-way communication. Without a feedback provision, it is known as one-way communication. A number of factors affect individual communication. Perception is susceptible to five major types of distortion: stereotyping, the halo effect, projection, perceptual defense, and self-serving bias. Semantic blocks sometimes occur because the various meanings and shades of meanings that individuals attach to words depend upon each person's semantic net. The consistency of verbal and nonverbal communication elements can reinforce a message in various ways. When the elements contradict each other, the receiver is most likely to interpret the nonverbal communication as the true message. Individual communication is facilitated by the development of skills in such areas as listening, giving feedback, and receiving feedback. When tasks require input from several individuals, managers need to give some thought to the communication network among task group members. Centralized networks, as we mentioned earlier, would include the wheel, the chain, and the Y. Decentralized networks are the circle and the star. For relatively simple, routine tasks, centralized networks tend to be faster and more accurate. When tasks are more complex, decentralized networks are likely to be faster and more accurate. Managers certainly need to be concerned with the flow of information among the various parts of the organization. Formal communication in organizations follows channels specified by the organizational official hierarchy. It's structured, and certainly it's related to task requirement. It flows in two main directions, vertical and horizontal. When horizontal communication flows from a higher level to one or more lower levels, it is known as downward communication. When it moves from a lower level to one or more higher levels, it is known as upward communication. Horizontal communication is lateral message exchange. Informal communication, better known as the grapevine, takes place without regard to the hierarchy or task requirements of the organization. In order to nurture individual behavior in an organization and innovative behavior within an organization, managers need to emphasize the use of both vertical, upward and downward, and horizontal communication channels. Electronic mail systems, voicemail, and teleconferencing are certainly examples of new communication aids that are being made available to managers through advances in electronics. I want to spend just a moment now and share with you an interesting type of project in which you might be involved. I want you to listen very carefully to the story that I'm going to read. And then I want you to indicate certain things about this story. Following the story, I'm going to read some statements, and you indicate whether these statements are true or false. Listen, here's the story. A businessman had just turned off the lights in the store when a man appeared and demanded money. The owner opened a cash register. The contents of the cash register were scooped up, and the man sped away. A member of the police force was notified promptly. Now, I want to share some questions. These are actually true or false questions in regard to this brief story. And based upon what you have heard, answer each one of these either true or false. Number one. A man appeared after the owner had turned off his store lights. Is that true or false? Number two, the robber was a man. Number three, the man who appeared did not demand money. Number four, the man who opened the cash register was the owner. You could even add perhaps a third category. I should have mentioned this. You could add a question mark. Well, I don't know. From the basis of the story that you read, the incident, I can't say whether if it's true, can't say if it's false. I just don't know. So how would you answer that statement? Is that true, false, or you just don't know? Number five, the store owner scooped up the contents of the cash register and ran away. Is that true, false, or would you have to use a question mark? I just don't know from the story. Number six, someone opened a cash register. Number seven, after the man who demanded the money scooped up the contents of the cash register, he ran away. Number eight, while the cash register contained money, the story does not state how much. Number nine, the robber demanded money of the owner. Number ten, a businessman had just turned off the lights when a man appeared in the store. Number 11, it was broad daylight when the man appeared. Number 12. The man who appeared opened the cash register. Number 13. No one demanded money. Number 14. The story concerns a series of events in which only three persons are referred to. The owner of the store, a man who demanded money, and a member of the police force. Number 15. The following events occurred. Someone demanded money. A cash register was open. Its contents were scooped up. And a man dashed out of the store. It's interesting when you hear that story how much you actually infer from what is said. Certain things are not specifically said, but we will infer certain things to be true. For example, there's nothing said about this individual being a robber. This could have been, for example, the armored car driver who came and wanted the money. Again, the story does not specifically say, but we infer certain things. Sometimes this is called reading between the lines. And again, this at times can be a problem in communication where we will actually infer certain things that are not actually said, but we find ourselves reading between the lines and adding perhaps a meaning to the communicative statement that the original sender did not actually have in mind. Again, the importance of listening, the importance of encoding correctly, the importance of decoding correctly, the importance of feedback from the individual to whom you're communicating, because feedback allows you to know almost instantaneously, immediately, if this person comprehends, if this person understands, if this person is receiving the message that you are wanting and desiring him to receive. I think the little story is important, and I think it certainly helps to illustrate for us the importance of listening carefully and communicating accurately and being very cautious about what we infer to be true and reading between the lines and actually giving meaning to words or statements that a speaker has shared which are not actually within the speaker's mind or the speaker's intent to share. So communication, the whole process of communication and the whole process of negotiation is so extremely important in the area of management and administration.